Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. So let us open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and we will read this chapter responsively. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. So doth a later folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honour. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and an error which proceedeth from the ruler. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answers all things. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Amen. And we thank the Lord for the reading of his holy word. The last time we considered the theme of fulfilled living. How to live a fulfilled Christian life. We saw that death is a reality that all of us must accept. This is the common destiny on earth that we all have. The final destination on earth that we all have, that is death. But for the believer, how then should we approach the life that we have on earth? Notice that we are talking only about observation, Solomon's observation under the sun, that is on this side of earth. He's not talking about whether we have eternal life or not. Of course, we have eternal life as believers. But just on earth, this is a common thing that all will have to go through, death. But the life that we now have on earth, we need to remember it is a gift. While we are still alive, there are still a lot of opportunities for us to live a fulfilled Christian life. So how should we live this life? How can we have a fulfilled Christian life? The Bible says we must live joyfully. Live joyfully, recognizing the providence of God, the blessings that God has blessed us with. Live joyfully because God is still our God. Then live recognizing the sovereignty of God. Live in light of God being in control. Though at times our lives may seem to be out of our own control, but we remember that God is in control, we can live a fulfilled life. Then Solomon says, live wisely. And that was what we considered from verse 13 to 18. Live in wisdom. And he showed us the value of wisdom. What wisdom can do. How wisdom can deliver a city that is besieged. How this wisdom found in this poor man was able to deliver the city when no one has remembered this poor man. Wisdom is better than strength. So he showed us the value of wisdom. But now as he thought upon the thought of wisdom, Solomon now went on to describe foolishness. Because he said in verse 18, as he concluded the thoughts on wisdom, he said, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And so carrying this thought from chapter 9, Solomon now says, just like one sinner would destroy much good, so now you see, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. He will now warn us about foolishness. How deadly, how destructive foolishness is. And so for our purpose this evening, we are going to study foolishness from chapter 10 verse 1 all the way to verse 7. Solomon will describe to us the evil of foolishness, the evil of folly, how foolishness is really so foolish. This is what he will explain. Now, when we try to think about the thought of foolishness, try to define foolishness. How would you define it? Is it a lack of intelligence? If a person is not so smart, is he someone who is foolish? If a person does not have common sense, is he also someone who is foolish? If a person is not street smart, he does not know how to carry himself or conduct himself through the situations in life, does that mean that he is not foolish? No, this is actually how we may humanly define foolishness. When we see somebody who does something not using his common sense, immediately we think in our mind that that person is quite silly, he's quite stupid, he's foolish. But you will realize that the Bible's definition of foolishness is different, is something else. And through chapter 10, verse 1 to 7, when we examine how evil foolishness is, how terrible and how destructive foolishness is, we will start to understand what really is foolishness as defined by the Bible. So this is what we want to see today. What is foolishness as defined by the Bible? It's not somebody who just lacks common sense or lacks human wisdom or an education. That's not foolishness. But what is foolishness? Let us see today. So the first thing that we can see in verse 1 is the destructive nature of foolishness and how foolishness has a bad name. Look at this in verse 1. The Bible says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honour. Now we have seen the last week, you remember in chapter 9 verse 8. You all see, let thy garments be always white and let thy head lack no ointment. We have seen that this ointment, it seems like it gives off a fragrance. Now the word oil, literally the ointment describes an oil. Apothecary describes a mixture of herbs. So it seems like in Israel, in those days, they use certain oil. Could be olive oil. And they would mix this fat with these herbs that would be able to produce certain kind of fragrance to it. Perfume. And this would be used often by women in order to make themselves smell good. Just like how we have perfume or cologne today. It's the same idea. Now, the purpose of this is figurative. A person has a good testimony. A person is well received by people around him. But a dead fly will spoil this perfume. So, in the same way, foolishness can destroy a person's testimony. Foolishness is so destructive that a little foolish folly in him, it can destroy his honor and his ability to be a blessing to others. foolishness destroys his excellence. The word in reputation describes excellence and honor. So this foolishness really destroys a person's honor for wisdom and honor. He destroys his excellence in his wisdom and his honor. He may have, through his life, been blameless, been obedient. When others examine his life, they cannot find any wrong in him because he has lived a holy, pure life. But just one act and one deed of foolishness can destroy his whole testimony. This is what this verse means. The evil of foolishness, it can destroy and leave a bad name to a person. This is why Solomon warns us, don't you see how deadly foolishness is? That we need to be so careful. Have we not read of scandals in news sometimes? Let's not talk about scandals in the news of unbelievers. How about scandals of believers, of pastors, of preachers, of teachers? How one act of foolishness can destroy their whole ministry. This is how deadly foolishness is. This is what the Bible says. Therefore, let us guard ourselves against foolishness. Now, in order to understand what foolishness and wisdom is, later Solomon will explain it. But now he just shows us how deadly it is. But he will then tell us, what are some of the things that we do that are so foolish? But see how deadly it is, so that we will not allow it to have any part in our life. Foolishness. It can destroy your life. It can destroy your testimony and your ability to be a blessing to others. The second thing Solomon tells us from verse 2 to verse 3. Look at the characteristic of the fool. The fool is somebody who is lost. In verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Now, majority of the people in Israel, and even in our day today, they are right-handed. Your right hand would describe the place of strength, of authority. And because for most of us who are right-handed, this would be our master hand. The hand with which we can perform most of our tasks and duty. But for the wise man, he would place his heart. Now in the Bible, the heart is not just the place of emotion. It describes the seat of your thought, your will, your decisions. It means that he would place his will under the control of his right hand. His will, his mind, his thoughts, they are under control. This is what a wise man would do. But the foolish man would place his heart in his left hand, in his weaker hand. Have you all tried to play a sport with your left hand before? Sometimes we play table tennis in immersing, and then you play with the children. Then you are too good, so you have to use your left hand to play with the children. Correct? And you have felt how that you cannot control the table tennis, you cannot hit where you want it to go. Even when you play badminton, it's the same. You try to write with your left hand. You try to brush your teeth with your left hand. You try to do things with your left hand. You feel so powerless, so helpless, so directionless. This is what it means. The fool will place his heart in his left hand. He will allow his life to not come under a proper control. He will let his life run wild and run free. This is what it means. This is why the thought continues in verse 3. When the fool walketh by the way, his wisdom would fail him. Now, the by the way there is interesting because this expression seems to suggest that the fool is walking on the wayside, by the way, along the way, but he's not walking in the way. And this observation describes the fool who would walk along the path that is not commonly walked on by others. Now, it's not talking about a trailblazer. You know, those who would blaze their own trail to explore the places that people have not explored. He's not talking about that. He's talking about this fool who is wandering about. He is lost. He does not know where he is going. He has no purpose in life. He just cruises through life aimlessly. And by the way he lives his life, he's announcing to everyone, I am a fool. This is a second thought. A fool is somebody who is lost. His life is not under control. It is not under God's control. His life has no purpose. He does not know why he's living. This is a fool. Are you wandering through your Christian life without purpose and without aim? Do you know why you are here on earth? Do you know why after we are saved, God allow us to remain on earth? Why does God not just take us up immediately, like the thief on the cross? Why does he allow us to still remain on earth? So that we can gather to ourselves much possession on earth? So that we can make more friends? So that we can build our earthly empires and kingdoms? Why did God allow us to remain on earth? What is the purpose of our lives? Do you know that? If you don't, the Bible says, this is a fool. If you don't, then seek it out. Place your heart in your right hand now. Start to understand, start to will, start to think, start to decide how you want to live your life. Do you want to continue to live your life aimlessly? You know, there are some people who in the period of seeking for a job, some who have just graduated from school, and then they're looking for a job. I once heard of such a man on the radio. You know, there was this, it's a Chinese radio because I'm trying to improve my Mandarin, so I listen to Chinese radio. And this person was describing his life for a period of time after he quit. He resigned from a particular job and he was in the process of looking for another job. He took about 3 years to find a job. And then during that time, he described his life. He said that he will wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He will sleep at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. in the night. And then when others are busy working, he would just live this life that he wanted to. At night, when others are tired after work, he will be so fresh. That's what he said. Then he will go and have a drink with them. This is the life that he lived. Then after that, he went to New York. He said, since I have so much time, I just go to New York and just have holiday for a while. And then after that, this was the life that he lived. He just explored and just went to do a bit of part-time job on the side in order to rent a small apartment with another friend to live in New York for a while. Then after that, when he has had enough, then he came back. But what was the purpose of his life? Is this how some of us are living? Just cruising through life aimlessly. Do you know why you live? The fool doesn't. The fool is lost. This is what the Bible says. Let us look at another characteristic of the fool. In verse 4, the fool has no temperance. The fool has no self-control. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, the Bible says, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offense. He says here, when you stay, the word pacifieth describes the ability to prevent. When you yield, you prevent great sin. This is what the Bible says. A person who is gracious in spirit, a wise man who avoids unnecessary arguments. When the spirit of a ruler stands up against you, he's angry with you, and you are frustrated. He says, stay there. Leave not thy place. Stand still. Yield quietly to him, for then you will prevent great offenses. This is what it means. In other words, the Bible is saying that a fool does not have self-control, whereas a wise man will have this self-control in him. He bears forth the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. The first three fruits of the Spirit, or the first three virtues of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, has got to do with our relationship with God. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness has got to do with our relationship with men. Faith, meekness, temperance has got to do with our self-control.
our relationship with ourselves.
And the Bible tells us when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you are able to be long-suffering, long temper. That is what it literally means. But the fool, he loses his temper so quickly. He has a short fuse. He always likes to argue. He always likes to prove himself right. He cannot stand it when somebody says something about him. He must vindicate himself. He must justify himself. He must always explain himself. He must manage every single part of his life. This is a fool. He says, sometimes learn to yield. When you yield, you pacify, you prevent sin and anger. Have you ever gotten into an argument with somebody where after arguing, you do not know what you argue about, actually? You argue already, initially there's a small thing, right? Just something very small. And then you argue about that. The argument has carried on for an hour. At the end of the hour, actually, what did we argue about? But both of you are so angry. None of you want to give way. You just want to be right. And even though you know you are wrong already, you must win that argument. But actually, what do you win? Have you experienced that before? This is a fool. But he says, sometimes yielding, when you give way, it can prevent great sin. That is what a wise man would do. A fool is self-centered. A fool is selfish. A fool is self-serving. This is a fool. Another description of the fool from verse 5 all the way to verse 7. Foolishness is valued. A fool will value foolishness. Now, this is an observation made by King Solomon. He's not telling us that we must do this, but he says in verse 5, do you notice this? There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Have you all seen this before? Where foolishness is so highly valued in the world. Now, the word rich there describes literally a noble. You see in verse 6, folly is set in great dignity. That means foolishness is given a place of honor. And the rich describes the nobleman. Okay? Not just a wealthy man per se. But a nobleman is placed in a low place. Now, the contrast is very obvious. Solomon is saying that there's a foolish man who is highly valued. But the nobleman who has skill, the nobleman who is qualified, is placed in a low place for various reasons. Okay? Figuratively speaking, this is what Solomon says that he has observed. He further observed that servants, those who are not qualified, are placed upon horses to lead the army. But princes, they are walking as servants upon the earth. Foolishness is given value. And this is what we see today. Popular culture. You know what makes a culture popular? Or what is popular culture? In the short, a popular culture is where we have pop music, popular movies, popular shows. And this is how we would define, and those who are involved in all this popular culture are what we call pop artists. Now, who do people value most today? Is it not this pop artist? And when you look at them, honestly speaking, do you not see that their lives are often a life of foolishness? Yet, who do people value most in the world today? Is it not pop songs, popular culture, pop artists? You just think of certain pop stars, actors, actresses. You look at the way they live their lives. You look at the relationships that they're involved in. You look at their families, how so destroyed it is. Yet, so many people value them. People will give them awards. When people see them, there was once I read a news of Steven Gerrard who came and
visit, I think, Singapore. And then these students went and see him. And after shaking his hand, that handshake was so precious that they did not want to wash their hands for a few days. This is how people would value them. Well, when they get the jersey of these football players, I cannot wash it. This has the sweat of that football player. It's so wonderful. People value all these pop artists, pop culture, pop music. But don't you realize that this is foolishness? Look at their lifestyle. Look at the way they comb their hair, cut their hair, color their hair. Look at the way they dress. Look at the kind of cars that they drive. How many cars they drive. And then they anyhow drive their cars and crash all these expensive cars everywhere. This is the kind that so many of these popular people are living. And honestly speaking, are these not the people whom we value the most? This is what Solomon observed in his day. And this is what we observe today. Folly is set in great dignity. People value foolishness. And people worship foolishness. And people want to follow after foolishness. Solomon says, a wise man will not do so. This is an evil and an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Corruption is another problem. Corruption where power is given to people who are not qualified. Where people who are qualified are for various reasons because they do not manipulate their ways, they are not cunning enough, they are not placed in positions which should be given to them. And sadly, this is the state of some churches as well, where foolishness is valued. When we talk about people who do not have wisdom to lead the church, people who do not have wisdom to guide the church, people whose families are messed up, yet they are supposed to serve as examples for church members, yet they are placed in positions of authority to govern the church, to instruct from God's word, yet their whole life is not in control, not in governance of God. These people, they are still placed in position. This is foolishness. Foolish person will value foolishness. This is what Solomon says. Will we heed this warning? So, verse 1 to verse 7, Solomon has described what foolishness is. Foolishness is very destructive. Foolishness will create and leave a bad taste in the mouth of others. When you have encountered a fool, you know he's a fool. This is what the Bible says. A foolish man is someone who is lost. He has no purpose to life. He's easily led astray. Something a person says can quickly change his mind. He does not know why he's doing what he's doing. The foolish man has no control, no self-control, no restraint of the biblical kind. A foolish man will value foolishness. He will turn the world upside down. And he will not recognize the wise. What then should we do? Now Solomon from verse 8 to verse 20. He will tell us and he will show us a contrast. He will now tell us the practical value of wisdom. And these are practical truths. As you will notice, he will describe very day-to-day events. And how we can overcome foolishness. And this is what must be found in us, in the wise. So see, look at the practical value of wisdom from verse 8 to 20. Now, firstly, wisdom is profitable to us. Verse 8, the Bible says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Do you see that? Wisdom is profitable to direct. The word direct there carries the idea of succeed. It is profitable to bring about success. A biblical kind of success. When a person is wise, he will succeed. Now, he will look at these day-to-day examples. The first thing we can notice is that a person who is wise, he will think before he acts. Right? He will think before he act. From verse 8 to verse 10, you have a series of events that are very day-to-day for the Jews. They are normal daily activity. Some of these things are dangerous, but they are practical things that they have to do in life. The point that Solomon is saying is not to avoid doing these things, but how do you go about doing these things? He says, there's somebody who will dig the pit, and then he falls into it. There's somebody who will break a hedge. A hedge describes a wall, and a serpent shall bite him. And then there's a person who will remove stones. He will be hurt. And when he cleaves wood, he tries to chop wood, he's endangered. The point is, when you do these things, plan and prepare for it. This is told to us in verse 10. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, he does not sharpen it, it becomes dangerous. In other words, a foolish man takes his daily life for granted. He is not careful about his everyday doing. Now, for us, these things are extraordinary. They are not normal. But for the Jews, these things are daily, normal daily life. Part of their normal daily life. And they sometimes do these things, they are so used to it, that they take these things for granted. And they are no longer aware of the dangers that can come about in doing these things. What Solomon is saying is always be prepared when you do these things. Always be careful. Always be mindful. Now, for us today, in contrast with the fool who has no direction and is lost, this means that we must be mindful of what we are doing every day. We prepare. We are careful. We take care of our lives. We must be responsible. The fool does not see the danger that lies ahead, and he throws caution to the wind. But the fool is hurt, but the wise is prepared. Are you one who is careful? Do you see dangers ahead? Will you be prepared? Because if you are prepared, the wise, it will bring about success. It is profitable to direct. This is what it is for the wise. Today, when you walk at the bus stops, do you see a lot of advertisements warning about scams? Online scams and internet scams? And do you see and do you know how some of these people get sucked in? So quickly and so subtly. And they would ignore warnings. They would throw caution to the wind. Maybe initially when they receive the SMS, just the other day I also got an SMS. You have $500,000. All you need to do is to call this number. Now, is there any danger in calling the number? They did not ask me for my bank account number. They did not ask me to transfer any money. They did not ask me to send any email. They did not ask me to send any particulars. Just call this number. Is there any danger to that? And some people will call. What will happen to that? They are not careful. They throw caution to the wind. I remember in Kenya, we have a few church members who actually fell prey to some of this scam as well. People will send, in Kenya, there's a way of sending money through the telephone, through the handphone. Okay, because they live in different provinces, and then if you want to transfer money, it's too far away. So they have this method of sending money through the phone. So this person, very cunningly, he will send accidentally money to this member's phone. So the church member will receive an SMS. You have received money in your account, your handphone account. So you can go and check whether the money is there and all these things. So they have sent the money. Then this person said, oh, I've sent it accidentally. Can you please send it back to me? And then he will come up with a lot of excuses. And some of these church members, they will be tricked. Somehow they have found a way where when they send the money, it appears on your phone, but it actually was not credited to your account. And then after that, they'll take the money and send them back. And there are people who are tricked with all these false emails. They respond to it. I remember I have one church friend also in Kenya who was engaged in multi-level marketing. Then one day he showed me, he brought this magazine to show me. look at this, you know, this is what I'm aiming for. I just need to recruit a number of people under my downline, and then I need to have closed and sell this amount of pills or these supplements, and then I will get promoted, and then I'll have this stable income. And then he told me, one day I'll treat you to buffet at this hotel. One of the biggest hotel chain in Africa was Serena Hotel. I'll treat you to a buffet at Serena Hotel. Till today, I've not gotten that treat yet. But he was so engrossed in it, and he kept trying to get more recruits for his downline. But every month, the credit is always resetted. So, if let's say you need to get 20 credits in order to get to the next level, this month you have accumulated 12. You cannot get 20. It's resetted. Next month you'll start all over again. And they will keep trying and trying and trying and trying until he had another job, part-time job. He neglected his job. He neglected his family and his life was in a mess until we have to tell him, stop. Just get rid of this. What you have invested and what you have bought thus far is not going to work. You have to just let it go and find a proper job and take care of your family. Initially, he could not. But later on, he did. But sometimes, how foolish some of us are, we refuse to listen to the warnings. And have you not experienced how lives can be hurt? You know, they say, fortune favors the bold. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Is it true? Solomon urges caution. He says, be prepared. Sharpen your iron. Have a plan. Know what you want to do. Know why you want to do. Know how you are going to do it. Do not run around aimlessly. Be careful. Be warned. Think before you act. Have we not sometimes done this? You know, actually, in the discussion today, I have two questions. Initially, one of the questions that I wanted to set was, share some of your own personal experiences of how some acts of foolishness have brought about hurt to others and yourself. And I was thinking that it's too personal. So you all think about it on your own. But do you know, do you remember how there were some foolish acts that you have done because you did not think before you act that has brought about hurt to others and yourself? Wisdom is where you think before you act. Wisdom is also where you think before you speak. From verse 11 to verse 15. The Bible now says, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and the babbler is no better. The serpent, without being charmed, not being under control, will bite. And now Solomon likens the tongue to the serpent. The word babbler is very interesting because the word babbler literally comes from the word meaning tongue. And it suggests this tongue being let loose, moving about without control, just speaking and speaking and speaking non-stop without control. And he's saying this tongue that is not under control is like a serpent that is not being charmed. It is deadly, it's dangerous, it's poisonous. This is how some people's mouth they are. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The Bible here says, his words is like a seed that is sown. Look at verse 13. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness. It's like a seed that you sow. The beginning is just foolishness. It can be irritating. Have you heard some people who talk non-stop? It is irritating at first, but later on it is deadly. It is no longer just frustrating and irritating. It is deadly. It's mischievous madness. It is confusing. This is what the Bible says. And it creates hurt. It will hurt others and it will hurt himself. They are arrogant. These people, they are arrogant and they must say something all the time. If they don't contribute to them, they feel that their life is just something missing. Every conversation around the dinner, no matter what topic it is, you just must contribute at least one sentence. If not, your life is not complete. Right? His tongue is just let loose. And the lips of the fool, the Bible says that when he sows, it is just foolishness. At the end, it becomes mischievous. It is madness. It swallows himself up. In verse 14, the Bible also says that it brings about confusion, where you do not even know what will be of him. A fool is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? It is confusing. He does not enlighten. He speaks things which he does not know. And then even if you try to tell him that he's wrong, he will prove that he is right and he will make you feel miserable and wrong. This is what a fool will do. Is this how some of us sometimes are? You know, I believe that of all of the traits of a fool, this is one area that we are most relaxed about. And some of us are in danger of manifesting this sometimes. Have you not said something that has hurt a person? Have you not said something that has brought about hurt to your family and yourselves before? Have you said some things that are insensitive? That is not that of a tender heart, not out of kindness? That does not benefit a person? A fool is full of words. You cannot tell what shall be. You do not know what will be of him. He just must speak. Now, and in his much talking, nothing is done. Again, this fool, look at what he is. In verse 15, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Now, the labor, the much work. Now, what is the much work here? Because you will see later on that the fool is not diligent. The fool is lazy. So his much work is not real work, but it's his much talking that brings about weariness, tired. A fool is tired over nothing. And despite his much talking, he's so aimless that he brings about a tiredness to himself. Wearieth every one of them. The every one of them describes themselves. Okay? So, literally this verse 15, actually the foolish is also in the plural. The labor of the foolish ones, that means many fools, they will make themselves tired. This is what the Bible is saying. Because they know not how to go to the city. They do not plan, they do not prepare. And then they make boasts, how I will go to this city. And then when they strive, they try to go to this city, they are now lost. They do not know where they are going anymore. And they refuse to ask for direction. They still think that they are correct. And it brings about tiredness to themselves. A fool leading a fool, a blind leading the blind. This is what the Bible is saying. You know, you must remember in our days today, we have GPS. Like the time we want to go Pulai Spring, Brother Andrew drive, then I just use my phone. On the day itself, in the morning, as we are on the car, we just type Pulai Spring, then we find and then we reach the place. In those days, you cannot. You have to search the map. You have to know the direction. You need to know the landmark. You need to know where you're going. If you don't prepare, you don't plan, you will be lost. And those of us who have been in the army, you know how frustrating being lost is. Have you been on topography exercise before? Navigation exercise? I remember once, when I was a cadet in officer school, our instructor got lost. And we just had to wander about. And we know that he was lost, but none of us dared to say anything. So we just follow. And then later on, some people told him, sir, I think we are going in the wrong direction. He still insisted that it's correct. So we just wandered and wandered and wandered and wandered. And we are all tired. We are all frustrated. We are all irritated. But what can we do? He is the officer. This is an example of a fool. A lost who would lead the lost. And he will not listen. He will refuse to listen. He will bring about weariness to himself and the people around him. But he will boast. He will talk of his own achievements. He will talk about himself. Think before you speak. Do not be like the fool. Do not make empty boasts. But prepare, plan, be humble and not arrogant. A fool does not think before he acts, and a fool does not think before he speaks. But wisdom is where you think, you are careful, you will prepare, you will plan. Wisdom is where you think before you speak. My parents, when I was young, always just remind me, before the words come out of my mouth, let the words go through my big brain, right? From the literal Chinese interpretation, let your words go through your big brain first before it comes out of your mouth. And there is wisdom in that. That's what Solomon tells us as well. Control your words. Control your tongues. Speak carefully. From verse 16, a fool will not lead wisely, but wisdom is where a person knows how to lead. Verse 16 says, woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child and when thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Okay, it goes on to verse 18 and 19. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. Feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. A fool cannot lead, but a wise is able to lead. Now, when we talk about leadership, what are we essentially talking about? Responsibility. A wise man is responsible. This is what verse 16 to 19 essentially says. He knows when to eat. He knows when to withhold. He does not eat in order for merry's sake, but he eat for strength. Look at verse 17. Thy king is the son of nobles, and the princes eat in due season. He eats when it's time to eat, for strength and not for drunkenness. Men, we are not to eat. We are not to live to eat, right? We are to eat to live. But some of us live by the philosophy of we live in order to eat. Our life is for merry and pleasure's sake. But for the wise, he eats for strength. This is what the Bible says. He lives responsibly. But the fool, woe! Woe in verse 16 is a cry, is a loud cry. Woe to thee, O land, when your king is a child. He's so immature, and thy princes eat in the morning. The illustration continues in verse 18. This man, the fool, he's so lazy, he's irresponsible, that the building will decay and through idleness of the hands. Now, the word idleness is very interesting. Literally, the word has got to, means down. He puts his hand down. He allows his hand to hang down. This is what it means. And the house will drop through. A fool is so lazy that his life is not taken care of. He's not responsible. He's not able to lead. Whether we like it or not, all of us is given responsibilities. We are called to lead to a certain extent. Some of us are called to leadership in the church. Some of us are called to leadership in the fellowship groups. Some of us are called to lead at home. If you are the head of the home. Even mothers, you are called to lead your children, to teach your children. We all have, to a certain extent, responsibilities to lead. We all are, to a certain extent, rulers. Look at the fool. How does he fulfill his responsibilities? He's lazy. He hangs his hands down. He does not take care of his nation. He does not take care of the land. He eats when it's not time to eat. He sleeps when it's not time to sleep. And he can destroy a whole nation. You know, I remember the story of the three kingdoms. Do you know the Shu Guo? Liu Bei, and then his son, Liu Shan, Ato, you know? Later, Zhuge Liang was about to lead an expedition of a campaign, his military campaign against Cao Cao and Sima Yi. 5 times he tried. But the emperor in those days was Liu Bei's son. Liu Bei's son was lazy, playful, immature, and because of his failure, he destroyed the whole nation. By the way, although this is a story, this is actually a true historical account as well, where Zhuge Liang actually did try to lead 5 expeditions, and he failed 4 times because there was lack of supply of food. Not because of his military failure, not because of tactics or strategies, but because there was not enough supply of food, because the home country did not send the supplies when they needed to send. And because of this, they failed. A whole nation later on was destroyed. Zhuge Liang was intelligent, brilliant. But despite that, this foolishness of one king can result in the demise of a whole country. No, what is this? Foolishness, lazy, slothfulness. Do you see how deadly it is? Laziness can destroy your life. In your home, if a father is lazy, irresponsible in bringing up his home, he can destroy his home. In the church, if a pastor, if the preacher is lazy, you know he can destroy the lives of the people placed under his care? This is how deadly it is. But the wise, he is responsible. He eats when he needs to eat. He acts according to his responsibility. Now, it's not wrong to eat, because in verse 19, the Bible says here that a feast is made for laughter and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Now, there are two ways in which this verse is often interpreted. One says that this is written in sarcasm, where Solomon is being sarcastic. He's saying, a feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. And he does not really mean it. Solomon is just being sarcastic, trying to highlight how foolish it is if you're trying to be merry. Okay, that is how some will interpret it. But some see this literally. I am of the opinion that this is to be read literally. That is not in sarcasm. But Solomon is saying that there is a time where you can enjoy laughter. There's nothing wrong in laughter itself. There's nothing wrong in being happy itself. There's nothing wrong in the drinking of grape juice, not alcoholic wine, because wine, as we have seen the last time, can be used in various sense. But it just describes the product of the vine. In the drinking of the fruit of the vine, it can bring about happiness. And there's a time for it. And that time will come when you have invested your time, invested your life, and you have fulfilled your responsibilities, and you enjoy the fruit of your labors. This is what it means. Money answereth all things. When you enjoy the fruit of your labors, when you have worked hard, you have been diligent, you have fulfilled your responsibility, and then you enjoy it. This is true enjoyment. And there's a place for that. And the wise knows it. The fool lives by this philosophy. Enjoy first, work later. But the wise, always first bitter, later sweet, in the direct translation of the Chinese idiom. He will work hard first, and then he will enjoy the fruits of his labor later on. A wise will live responsibly, according to what God has entrusted to him. The last one, verse 20, the wise will not criticize. Now, it's very interesting, because, again, this has got to do with the tongue, with your words. Curse not the king,
Not in your sword, curse not the rich in thy bed chamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. It says, do not criticize. Coming back to the idea of the ruler, in other words, he's saying, submit to your ruler. Even though some of these rulers, they are incompetent, they are lazy, but you still have to submit to authority. But nevertheless, whatever you do, do not complain. Do not criticize. Control your tongue. The warning is that oftentimes a bird, figure of speech, will carry the words that you have spoken and others will hear about it. And you only regret it. In other words, do not say what you would live to regret later on. This is the warning of the foolish. Will you hold your tongue? Do not gossip about others. You know, it's not just the words that you say, because that is what Solomon has described from verse 11 to verse 15. But it's also the words that you say about people. These are two faults and two areas Solomon tells us to be in control. Be careful of the words that you say, and be careful of the words that you say about people. Why do you want to talk about people? Is there a need? Is there a need to repeat and rehearse the story that you have heard about this person to another? What does it achieve? You will laugh over it, and then after that, what? Why? Why do you want to complain? Is there a purpose? Is there a reason? Wise men will not do that. This is what the Bible says. So today we have seen two things. The fool and the wise. A fool, it is deadly. Foolishness is deadly. A fool is often lost. He does not know what he's doing, where he's going, the purpose of his life. The fool is somebody who has no self-control, no temperance. A fool will value foolishness. This is what a fool is. But the wise, he will think before he act. He will think before he speaks. The wise, he is responsible for the things in his life. A wise also will be careful of the things that he say about others. The wise and the fool. Which one will we be? We want to understand what is foolishness and wisdom according to what the Bible says. And this is what the Bible has told us. What foolishness and what wisdom is. Foolishness is one who does not heed God's command and instructions. Who does not heed God's warning. Who has no purpose, meaning in life. His life is in a mess. No interest for the things of God. He does not live responsibly in fulfilling of his calling. He does not fulfill what God has called him to do. But the wise, he thinks before he acts. He prepares, he plans. He always entrusts all that he would do to the hand of God, because he knows how dangers always lie ahead of him. He knows how so little control he has over his life. He entrusts his life to the Lord. The wise is always careful with his words. He knows when words can hurt. He knows when words can build up. He will use it to edify and glorify God. He would use his words to honor the Lord. A wise is responsible. What God has called him to do, he would fulfill it to the best of his ability. Whether as a father, whether you're working in your working place, whatever your vocation is, whether as a friend, as a brother, as a sister, your responsibility, your calling, you would fulfill it. The wise, he will not criticize quickly. He will hold his tongue. He will not gossip. He will watch his words. Solomon purposely emphasizes the tongue. Is it not true that really oftentimes through the tongue, through the words of men, we know whether a person is a wise man or a fool?
So, are you wise or are you foolish? Let us pray. Our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, oh indeed, how frightening it is to live like a fool. Sometimes we do admit that we have been living foolishly. We wander around so aimlessly and blindly. We do not fulfill our calling. We are sometimes lazy. We procrastinate and we delay in doing that which we ought to do. Sometimes we speak so carelessly. Oh Father, we pray, please help us to see our own foolishness and to turn away from these things. But we thank Thee that You have also taught us how we can be wise. Indeed, we know that as we have the Holy Spirit in us, we can bear forth the fruit of the Spirit. We can now live in wisdom. We can live in the wisdom taught to us in Thy Word, in Thy Scriptures. And Father, we pray that You will make our lives a blessing to others. Because when we live wisely, indeed, it will bring glory to Thy name and we will be a fragrance to others as well. Oh Father, help us, we pray, whether we are in our respective callings, at home, whether we are at our workplace, in the church, in our own families, help us to be wise. Teach us, O Lord, for this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.